starting the second topic today, talking about today about the borders of Eretz Yisrael in the Shemitah. Okay, so Shemitah applies to all of Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael is divided into two parts, so to speak, for our purposes. And that is when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim and they captured parts of Eretz Yisrael. That's called the Oil of Mitzrayim, the place that the people coming from Mitzrayim captured. And that includes Eber HaYarden also, the other side of the eastern side of the Jordan. And those things are high, all those places are high in Shemitah. The Mitzvah of Shemitah applies to all those things. Yidden came back after the Golus of Babel, and they came back to Eretz Yisrael. They captured a smaller amount of Eretz Yisrael. Basically, they didn't capture any of Eber HaYarden, and they captured a smaller portion of Eretz Yisrael itself. That's called the Oily Babel, the place of Oily Babel. Okay, that's a smaller portion. What's it then? Almost all the... Not yet. No, we'll have pictures. Not this. Not early Mitzrayim, Oily Babel. Okay, so the din is, all the mitzvahs of Shemitah apply to the places of Oily Mitzrayim. That means the bigger area. Including Kedusha Shvius and Bir, all the mitzvahs apply, with one major exception, and the major exception is the mitzvah of the Isser of Svichim. The Isser of Svichim, excuse me, the Isser Drabbanan, that things that grow by themselves, that have to be replanted every year, like tomatoes and cucumbers, that you have to plant every year, those things are usher even if they grew by themselves, because the Chum were afraid people would plant them and say they grew by themselves. So that Isser Drabbanan, the Chum didn't impose that Isser Drabbanan on the places that are the early, that are only. The only the lands of the early Mitzrayim, since Shemitah there is only the Rabbanan itself, it's a Rabbanan in the places of the early Mitzrayim, so they said, you know what, we're not going to make the Isser Svichim in those places also. Okay? So those places don't have, so that's the major enough community between them. But otherwise, all the mitzvahs apply in all the places of the early Mitzrayim. There's one other exception which is not so practical. It's going to come up again today, so I'm going to mention it. But there's one other exception, which is there are certain spots in the parts of Eretz Yisrael that are the Oily Mitzrayim, in the broader parts of Eretz Yisrael, that Chazal specifically said there's no mitzvah of Shemitah at all in those places. Okay, the most famous one is Beishan. There's no mitzvah of Shemitah at all. Why? The Chachamim wanted that those places should have, people should be doing work. There should be Meiser Ani, so that the poor people would have what to eat during Shemitah. So they bedafka wanted to be no mitzvahs or Shemitahs in those places. So there are certain places that are completely excluded from the mitzvah of Shemitah. Okay, but otherwise, most of the places of Eretz Mitzrayim are chayiv in all mitzvahs of Shemitah except the Svichim. Okay, now the Gemara and the Mishnayos give us all kinds of ways of identifying all these places. Okay, it's full of places. So we're going to see today, by and large, we don't make too much halacha mitzvah out of those identifications. We're going to see that more as we go on. The one thing that's very clear is that the Eber HaYarden we consider to be the places that was not captured by the early Bavel. Okay, so we, as a rule, will say that there's no mitzvah svichin on the things that are Eber HaYarden. The Yarden is pretty clear where it is. You know, it's a big river going down there, and it's pretty easy to figure out what that is. So things that Eber HaYarden, Hagam, Rechaim Kineski brings right, is that there are places in Eber HaYarden that the early Bavel did capture. They did capture them. But as a rule, we just say everything in Eber HaYarden has no mitzvah, no Isser Svichim. Okay, one last thing that I'll throw in, which is sort of from the opposite side, which is, I'll remind you that there's one mitzvah of Shemitah that applies even to Chutz Laaretz, and that's Shemitah's Ksavim. Okay. That's not really for today. Okay, so, now just, we have Gemara's Epsukim, Sefer Bamidbar has a couple of psukim explaining to us what the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. Sefer Yeshua has many prakim explaining to us what the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. And the Mishnayos and the Gemaras have all full of identifications of where Eretz Yisrael is, and where the Oil Mitzrayim is, and where the Oil Bavel is. But nice is, for hundreds of years, there come out no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. You know, a smattering here and there, but come out, nobody was living there. So most of this information, which was very, for real, it was like saying, you know, like you were talking before, going to Western and to Kedzi, everybody knew what that was, but over the time, come out, all that information was lost. Okay, come out, we had no Masara on what any of these places were. Because Mamas, for hundreds of years, we come out, no Yidden living there. And all that information, the Gemara gave us so much, look at Sefer Yeshua, all the places they went, from this place, and to this place, and this place, and to all of them, that meant something. That was all like, you know, it's like saying we went to St. Louis, we all know what that means, but to us, at this point, most of it was lost. And most of that, those questions of what Eretz Yisrael is or is not, was very, if I could use the word, academic. Okay, it was just like an understanding of part of Torah, but it had no practical advice, until The first sefer that the most famous, just did not place me there. Oh, sorry. Okay, the most famous of the early svarim that spoke about this was a sefer called Kafta Veferach from someone named Ishtari Haparchi. Okay, I don't know if that's a real name or not, but that's his name, Ishtari Haparchi, who wrote this sefer Mamash in the 1300s. He's a Talmud of the Rosh. So it's written for a very long time ago. They say that he spent 7 years learning these halachas, crisscrossing Eretz Yisrael. The sefer is not only about geography. That's the most famous part of the sefer. Really, the sefer is all about Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. It's on and on. I mean, I forgot how many pachim it's. It's a very, very long sefer. What is it? That's only the second chelik. There's a third chelik also. It's very long. It's a very... And what do you say? It's halachas of Eretz Yisrael. It's halachas of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, this is a modern version of it. This is a modern version of it. You could also get it as a the old version. I'm going to mention the old version later. Anyhow, that's the most famous sefer still used today. Okay, the most famous sefer. After that came two other svarim, one called Tfus Aretz from some Rabbi Yosef Schwartz in the 1800s, and Admas Kedesh from some Ritzon Goldhar in the 1900s. Okay, so those three svarim are the more the older svarim that were written about this, okay, and since then plenty more, because as you understand, as more and more Yidden started living in Eretz Yisrael, and Yidden became, there were more farmers that were Yidden, and there were all these kind of questions that became much more serious. All of a sudden, this was not just a Chavos Shel HaMashiach, this was very for real. People might need to know, as we're going to see, which place is Eretz Yisrael and which one is not. Where is Shemitah, where is no Shemitah? So these things became much more Lamaisa. Okay, it's not Shaya.
It's the gear for other things also, right? It's the gear for Shemitah.
Yes, it's going to get to other things also. We're focusing on the Shemitah part of it.
Same thing, go with Yom
Tashen, but the same thing. Yom Tashen is a little bit different. Yom Tashen is a little bit, but Truma Semaisis is the same. Yeah, Truma Semaisis is like this. Okay, so now, we're not possibly going to go through all the shadows. Not that I know them, and not if we had time to do it. I mean, it's not much like this. And every little spot over here, there's what to talk about. Everyone has what to say about it. But what I'm going to do is like this. I'm going to talk to you about one general issue, about figuring out where the borders are, and then two specific issues just to give us a little flavor for what's going on here. Okay. So, this is the more visual part of what they had. They had lots of maps in there, but the sefer is not maps. You shouldn't think that the sefer is full of maps. Really, this farm are pages and pages and pages of details of all these kind of what kind of places are. Okay. So, if we look in Chazal, and we look at Torah, we're going to find that there are places that the Torah and Chazal give us descriptions of certain places. Okay, they give us descriptions that let us understand what our place is like. Okay, they give us landmarks that help us figure this out. But by and large, there's some of that, but by and large, the way we know where places are is because it gives us a name. Okay, most things give us a name. So, those names were gone. We have no idea where those places are, and nobody knows where Atzmoina is, okay? So what happened was, starting from the Kafta Veferach, was he made up for the fact that they were missing the names by turning to the people who were living there and seeing what they call places, okay? So, and his sefer, so not like this, but before I tell you what he said, if you've seen the Gemara, that there's a place called Surya, okay, Samach Vav Reishit Alf, okay, and has special dinim, it's right next to Eretz Yisrael, has special dinim for Shemitah and Trumas and Maisis, and has special dinim, it's not Eretz Yisrael, but it's close to Eretz Yisrael, and we know there's a country called Syria, right north of Eretz Yisrael, so all of us assume that the country that the Gemara talks about called Surya, and the din, and the place that we have that's called Syria are roughly the same, because Surya and Syria, I mean, come on, you know, it's not a coincidence that they're both right next to Eretz Yisrael, and they have the same name. So Kafta Veferach did the same thing. And he brings, I'll give you some of the examples that I sort of say for Mishnah Yosef, you can hear from him later. He's a modern, contemporary person. There's a city called Cheshbon. Okay, it was in the parish a few weeks ago, Cheshbon. And he says, well, in Arabic, there's a city in the right space, which is called Cheshbon, okay, which he says, that's Cheshbon. Okay, that's the same place called Cheshbon. Or Elio is supposed to have been, is born, Elio is called Elio Tishbi, he comes from a place called Tashuv, okay, and in an Arabic place is called Ashtib, okay, which is what he says is Tashuv. And then in a different variety, a different way of saying this, I didn't say you're going to read all that, I'm trying to show you the Musag of what he does. Another place called Yavish Gilad, okay, another place called Yavish Gilad, so he says in Arabic there's a place called gofan, and gofan means dry. Okay, which is when they think yavesh gilad. Yavesh says it's the dry place in gilad. He says that's what it is. So now, you can, you know, he's a little older than you. So the idea is, I'm not trying to tell you that you should. Everyone agrees to everything that I just said just now. But the idea was is that when we have a place and we're looking for a place called Cheshbon, okay, and we have certain ideas of where, what it's supposed to be, so he said, well, part of our figuring it out will be looking at what the people call it, the people who are living there. Okay, so now.
That's it.
What did you say?
I think the Gemara even gives places of the Gemara.
Yes, there's such a thing in the Gemara also. Yes, that's correct. Yes, the Gemara says that they thought that, what's the city called? I forgot what it's called. Yes, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says they made mistakes about it also. Okay, well, it's not such a, okay, so now. So, okay, came along the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish said like this. He says, you know, I don't know what to tell you. He says, how can you tell me that we're going to rely on the fact that it has an Arab name? He says, names change. Cities get destroyed. Things get moved around. You know what I'm saying? When there's a... Is there anyone? Nish? You're right. It's a mistake. Title. Okay. Sometimes, you know, if there's an earthquake and the whole city gets destroyed and there's a fire, they move it over 10 miles over. You know what I mean? Or they make a new name or something like that. So the other says, you know, I'm not a big believer in taking things out of an Arabic name. How much can I read into the fact that something has an Arabic name? And that means is... But listen, so the what most people take from what the Chazon Ish says is that, therefore, you almost can identify nothing in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there's almost nothing in Eretz Yisrael that we have enough descriptions of it to know what it is.
Not even
Bnei Brak. No, Bnei Brak is a short one. But it doesn't mean anything. It is a concept. It's okay, so maybe Yerushalayim. Maybe we could say the Mediterranean, you know, the Yam Gadol. Sorry, it's not. No, how would do we know? Was it over here? Was it 10 miles over? 10 miles this way? You know, we don't know. What's how are we going to be able to identify? Really, we're going to be very, very limited to what we could pick out of what places are, because without the names, the descriptions of places. You know, it looks like this. It looks like this. But it's near a mountain. But we're very limited to what we could do. Okay, came along. Okay, this is what the Chazon Ish. Okay, and most people take the Chazon Ish at face value. Okay, now. Come along, say for some quote, Mishnah Yosef. Okay, his name is Rabbi Yosef Liebman. I believe he's still alive. And he wrote many, many svarim about Shemitah. Okay, Rabbi Matzkin has been helping me get copies of it. And quite a number of svarim. Rabbi Friedman gave me one of them also. But he's been very helpful. I mean, he has many svarim on Shemitah. And he says it like this. He says, as you know, is I think that what the Chazon Ish said is being taken out of context. He says, first of all, in Svara, he said a name is a name. He says, and also look at these Rishonim, look at the people before us, and look at the Kaftan Ferach and all these other songs that we mentioned, who are all full of these kind of names, who are always taking information from the name, more or less based on Arabic name. He says like this. He says, Chazon Ish, you're misreading the Chazon Ish, because he says like this. He says, the Chazon Ish is talking about the din of Beis Shan. That's what the Chazon Ish is on. And the Chazon Ish says like this. He says, when we have Beis Shan, that Beis Shan has no mitzvahs of Shemitah in that city of Beis Shan. So first the Chazon Ish says, you should know, when the Gemara says Rebbe was hit to Beis Shan, it only means the exact city of Beis Shan, not the surrounding area, which is its own Shiloh. Did it surround the surrounding area? So he says, no, it's only the area itself. So that means is if we want to say which is the spot in Eretz Yisrael that has no Shemitah, let's pretend Beis Shan is a mile by a mile big, 5 miles by 5 miles, however big the city is, we have to get it exactly on the nose. We've got to get the spot exactly where it is. He says, no. So if we want to do that, then we have to know that Beis Shan is exactly, what the Arabs call Beis Shan is exactly where Beis Shan was originally. He says, so, therefore, we can't be for sure. But if we know that the Arabs said that this place, they call it Beis Shan, which is these rulings from bring it as a place, what the Arabs called it, then we know roughly that Beis Shan was that area. It wasn't exactly that spot. You're right. Maybe it got moved and it got destroyed and it moved over and there's a new neighborhood of a Kahena. He says, but you don't think that Beis Shan moved from one part of town to the other. He says, you know, Be'er Sheva, we all know Be'er Sheva is in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. They wouldn't have all of a sudden gone to the north and picked a city in the Golan and called it Be'er Sheva. It's silly, you know what I mean? So The Chazanish, he's saying, well, if you look at the Chazanish, all the Chazanish is talking about is in Beishan, to say that this spot has no Shemitah, you can't say that this spot has no Shemitah because it's Beishan, because, come on, you can't be so specific. But if you don't want to make a specific spot, you want to say, I want to make borders of Eretz Yisrael, and I'm not going to make a border to the nickel. I'm not going to say that here's Eretz Yisrael, and all of this land is not Eretz Yisrael. I want to roughly make the border of what Eretz Yisrael is. I have a fair idea of where the land goes to or doesn't, so then I can use these names as helpful in figuring things out. Yes?
You say that when the settlers came to America, so they named city, they could have been naming cities, New Amsterdam, New York, wherever it is, but if they dropped the new, then you
wouldn't... Right, so they came in a city called Bethlehem. They named a city called Bethlehem. So it's Bethlehem's all over the country.
Right, so it's possible.
But nobody thinks that Bethlehem in Pennsylvania is really Bethlehem.
No, I'm saying that it could be that they did move the name from... Maybe the original southern people living in Bethlehem moved up north, and said, okay, we'll call them from the name of the original city. We'll call them...
Right, this is a different country.
Right, this is like a whole...
See, you see this, no, but I'm saying you see that there's a concept of calling a city, a new city, as a reference to your old city. So I'm saying that it could be that you're right. You see that it has happened that even from a different country, people call
it. It's the opposite. Only from a different country. Like we remember the old place. You know what I mean? We call ourselves Square. You know what I mean? Because we remember the old country. This is what we used to live in Square. Now we call it Square also.
We didn't. Your own country or moving to a different location.
There we go. Okay. So it gives another example. He says, there's another thing, is that sometimes the name or Chazal gives something that's descriptive. Okay? There's a place, one of the places is called Male Akrab. We're going to talk about it in a second. Male Akrab. Okay? And the Male Akrab, the Male, it is understood to be an adjective. Okay? It's the place that rises up. Okay? There's all kinds of theories as to what the Akrabim part of it is. Okay, the Mali means that it rises up. That it rises up. He says, so when you go to the right part of Eretz Yisrael, which we have enough direction because how weird the Erech is in Eretz Yisrael. You go to the right place in Eretz Yisrael and you see these huge mountains that go rising up into this, so you get the feeling, so we have some descriptive that tells us that it's going to be in that spot. It has a name, Mali Akrabim, and we see what awfully looks like Mali Akrabim. It gives us more confidence.
And geographic mark.
Those are also, yes. So
general.
Okay, so the Chazanish said, if you read it just straight, if you just saw the quote that I brought to you before, and just the quote by itself, he says, the Chazanish said you shouldn't use anything from Arabic names. And the Mishnah Shetzer is saying, he questioned that based on earlier people who were all using Arabic for the whole swarm of that. And he says, really, he's not convinced the Chazanish even said that in the first place. The Chazanish is, in context, is correct, but to expand that to mean everything else, you know, I just put you 10 words on the board, but if you take it really what he said, he says he's not so convinced that's really what he means.
By the way, he was a Talmud Mufak of the Chazanish.
That's what they say. Okay, other people, other Talmud.
With nothing else to lean on, so then the Chazanish's cloud was probably their
child. The principal?
Because?
So I think it is brother. There's nothing else to lean on except for what the Arabs are calling it. And nothing else. You don't have any markers or any geographic reference.
Okay. You know? So again, I have to just say something. Everybody who says, don't use the name, is up against lots of greater people than us who are very comfortable doing it. Okay. Now, I have to say, this that I told you, that this is like, now we have these like two approaches to how to look at this. Should we be more conservative or more, open to figuring these things out, came even, not just I saying to you now as far as using Arabic names and things like that, but came even from things that came from Chazal. And that is like this. Hilchos Trumas, Hilchos Trumas, Chaim Kineski has a map of where he thinks the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. Okay? Now, the map that he has is not based on archaeological evidence or Arab names and all these kind of things that people question, okay? But rather it's based on the Gemara Baba Basra. Okay, the Gemara Baba Basra says there are 7 rivers and 4 lakes. Let me get that backwards. 7 lakes and 4 rivers that surround Eretz Yisrael. And Chaim Kineski goes, finds you from all over in different places in Chazal to help you figure out what those 7 lakes and 4 rivers are. Each one of them, he figures out, he says to you, oh, and this is a Medrash over here, and this is a Gemara over here. Each one, he's going to figure out from which one it is. And based on those cheshbonos, completely, you know, think of a Chaim Kineski as sitting there reading the newspaper. You know what I'm saying? It's totally not archaeological. It's all based on Chazal. He says, I'm going to tell you These are what are the borders, okay? If you see the dotted lines on the bottom, a lot of what he has to do with the southern border, which we'll talk about in a second. And he really thinks the border is the higher of those dotted lines. The bottom ones are ones that he explains, and what he speaks about, why he thinks those are not right. Okay? But Berach, he thinks that those are what the borders are. Okay? That's what he said. It came along. So he has, if you read this, it sounds, I'm not to say, but awfully convincing. Okay? It's not based on anything that's not from Chazal. Came along, if you look on the bottom, the little words that you couldn't read there, Rabbi Yashiv, he showed this his father-in-law. Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv, if you know you're right, what you said is mamish based on Bab Yerushalmi Tesefta Rishayim Machroinim, which is exact. I mean, it's very accurate, that's exactly what it is. He says, no, not convinced, it's philosophic, you can never be sure about these kind of things, and therefore, that's why I left the little words on the bottom, in faded that you could barely see under the word, under the picture. But, so Rabbi Yashiv said to him, so it's printed right under the map, there in Hilchos Trumas, he says, even so, I'm not convinced, and get to Halacha L'maisa. It's a suffix. Who knows? You never know these kind of things. Okay. So, even more so, here, it's not even a matter of, are we using, I'm telling you, there's people who based on archaeological evidence, on Arab names. This is even mamash based on Chazal. I mean, like he says, Ba'av Yerushalmi, which is after the return of Rahornim. I'm bringing it all based on really serious writings. He says, no, I'm not convinced. If you prove it to me, fine. Otherwise, when Mashiach comes, he'll draw the line for us. Okay. So really, we have these, the mamash is two different ways of looking at this. This huge amount of effort people have put in to trying to figure out this, all these places. Okay, I don't know if he spent all 7 years, but the Kafta Ferro who spent 7 years figuring these out, and the other people since. I mean, the Mishnah Shesiv has got pages on these things. Everyone, there's lots of sfarim that have been written about these things. And then there's this very, if I could use the word, conservative approach that says, listen, only things that we know, like Avery Arden we know was not in early Bavel. Or certain places, that's all we're going to do, nothing more than that. Okay, so now, I'm going to go through two more specific examples. So this is a more general question. How should we approach Bechlal making up these borders? And the two specific examples to understand the better. Okay, like this. Terry says that there are the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. The Terry gives us the two endpoints of that border. Okay, one is the southeast corner of the Yam HaMelech, Tzei Yam HaMelech Kedma. Okay, the southeast border of the Yam HaMelech, and on the other end, that's on the eastern side, southeast part of Eretz Yisrael, and the southwest part of Eretz Yisrael, it tells us that it goes to Nachal Mitzrayim and then to the Yam. Okay, so those two spots, the two ends are pretty well accepted of what they are. That is, on the right side, where the yellow dots are, the right side, which is the bottom of the Yam HaMelech, roughly, it's sort of pretty easy to pick out because the Yam HaMelech is there. There are people who question it. They say, no, the Yam HaMelech used to be bigger, and this and that, but roughly, we know roughly where it is because the Yam HaMelech is still there. So we can roughly pick out where the bottom southeast corner is, okay?
Okay. Yes.
No, two different maps. These are two different maps.
Isn't that true to south, really, there?
Say it again?
Is that more the dot? Is the dot just the general sense?
Yes, a general. No, it's not supposed to be specific.
Should be a little bit more to the left.
Okay, so now, what we're looking at, the maps that you're looking at, on the left side is of Chaikinesky, that you probably remember. The other one is flashed by too quickly. This is the map that the Mishnah Yosef brings, showing not his borders, but the borders of the Adamus Kodesh and the Tumas Arutz. Okay, in the different ones he shows it. But what we're focusing now on is just the yellow dots. On the right side is the Tzei Yam HaMelech Kedma, okay? And on the left side is the Nachal Mitzrayim. What's Nachal Mitzrayim? The Ari Yishayim would say Nachal Mitzrayim means the Nile River. Okay, but everybody follows what Rashi Yigoyin says. Rashi Yigoyin says that Nachal Mitzrayim means what's called Wadi El Arish. Okay? And a Wadi and a Nachal means the same thing. A Wadi and a Nachal means a river that only exists during the rainy season. Only when there's rain around, is there a river there. But when there's no rain, there's no river. Okay, it dries out. And it's not based on a spring. It's coming from rainfall. So that's a wadi. That's what a nachal is. So Nachal Mitzrayim is understood to be the nachal that comes out from the city called El Arish. Okay, which still exists. You can see it in the bigger map. It's El Arish. El Arish. And there's a river that comes out, a wadi that goes east to west and then a little north to south also. Okay, and that's assumed to be, that Wadi El Arish is assumed to be Nachal Mitzrayim. Okay, again, there are those who argue, but if everyone pretty much goes along with the side you're going, who says that Wadi El Arish is that's Nachal Mitzrayim. So now, those are the two ends. Okay, we have right and left of what the ends are. Now, but what about the middle? The Torah gives us five cities in between, or five locations in between, which are, I don't remember, they are Malia Kraben, I mentioned before, Sin and Midbar Sin, those are this near each other or the same. Kodesh Barnea, Chatzar Adar, and Atzmoina. Is it this week's parsha? No, this week's parsha. Okay, so it has five, it gives us these five places of that in between. Now, those five places, it's not a straight line. And there's not a straight line from the east to the west. It dips down to the south. And the Torah, by giving us these five names, these five places, is helping us to teach us how to make the lines. Because it's not a straight line. It's not a straight line across east to west. It dips down to the south a certain amount. Okay. Okay, so now, come on, everybody thinks that the borders are roughly the same. I mean, if Chaim Chayefsky has his line, and you see how his line goes, you look at these line on the right side, is the Tfus Aretz and Admas Kazakh, it's roughly the same. I don't mean exactly. Excuse me, there are places that they disagree about, but they have a rough agreement as to what the border should be is. Okay, however, that's the more, the approach of the, let's see what if we can figure out what Eretz Yisrael is. Okay? The more conservative approach says no. The southern border of Eretz Yisrael is the 30th line, 30 degrees longitude line. Okay, what on earth is the 30 degree longitude line? Where does that come from? It comes from two places. One is that the Chazon Ish is reported to have said, they say, I don't know enough, they say it's not in the Sfarim, but that he told many people that Eilat is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. He says Eilat and the areas around it are not Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Eilat happens to be just under the 30th longitudinal line. Longitudes is like the line that the imaginary lines going around the earth. It's around just Eilat is just below the 30th line. And there's another reason. Okay. And that is Eilat's on the map yet. It'll be on the map soon. Okay. The Rambam says in Gachas Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam says like this. He's talking about how to know to figure out the moon being in certain spots. So the Rambam says, you can only use what I'm telling you if you're in places to the east or west of Eretz Yisrael that are roughly approximate to where Eretz Yisrael is. Okay, so if it's places from 30 degrees to 35 degrees, and it's assumed that longitude in those days and our days is the same, latitude they say is not the same, but longitude is the same, and so 30 degrees to 35 degrees are, if you do that, then you're going to see, those people will see the moon at the same time at roughly as Eretz Yisrael. But if you're going to go too much north, I mean north of 35 or south of 30, then you're not going to see that because those places are Einam Mechuvanus Keneged Eretz Yisrael. So they say, you see, the Rambam says that the southern border of Eretz Yisrael is at the 30 degree longitude. So therefore, we should only make the southern border of Eretz Yisrael is at 30 degrees. So we don't have to do anything fancy and figure out where cities are. The Rambam says it's at 30 degrees.
It's north.
Well, the north. No, there's two. There's 30 Mishloishan Miles, Ashlam Hay Miles. So
that's the north.
So 35 is the north and 30 is the south. Kagoyin shall you notice the tzachon ol mishloisha miles aglam hay miles. I'm notice the tzachon yosim mizeh. Pachas means below 30. The tzachon yosim me 35 and pachas means below 30. He's giving you two lines. Yeah, look at the second line.
North is between 30 and
35. No. There are two lines. 30 and 35. 30 is the south. 35 is the north.
That's how it works. Right.
Oh, in the northern hemisphere. In the northern hemisphere. It's 30 north. North to 35 north. Yes. But if it goes more north than 35, or more south. What did you say? Right. Between 30 and 35. We'll get that in a second. So between 30 and 35, then they see the same. Otherwise, they don't see the same. But it's in the Chavon's kind of area. So they say, you see, the Rambam says that the southern border of Israel is 30. Okay, now, there's a whole pile of questions on this. Okay, this is not in Hilchos Shvi'it, this is in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay, the question like this, first of all, is, it's hard to justify in any stretch that the border really goes down to 30. Okay, the 30 degree longitude is Be'erich 40 miles south. You can have maps soon. Just give me a second. It's about 40 miles south of any place that anyone thinks is the end of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not to say, we're not trying to put the border by to the inch, but there's no way we could, no reason to believe that Atzmoina is all the way down there. Right, so, but it has, the Torah gave you the five spots to draw the line. But we can't, there's no explanation that could put one of those down at the bottom. Now, we might be missing something, but to think that they're so off, there isn't any simple way to say it like that.
Well, according to the Rambam, it's the same.
And the Pasha says that the Rambam here is not talking about borders of Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam is telling you an approximation of where Eretz Yisrael is, and it has to do with, really, because these didn't have to do with Yerushalayim. Okay, they didn't have to do with Yerushalayim, where they see Eretz Yisrael. So he says, if you see roughly the same as Yerushalayim, and, for example, you're like, from this year to this, I mean, you see that he's not giving you an exact. I mean, you know, the Torah didn't say the border was a straight line. I mean, 30 or 35 are straight lines. I mean, he's just giving you a rough idea of how far you could be that you see approximately the same. You know what I mean? You're close enough that things are the same. You know, in Brisk, they have a clock that tells you exactly what time Nates is in Brisk. Okay? You know what I mean? But chances are that in a Pasha Shurim, Nates is approximately the same time. Not, you know, it might be a quarter of a second off, but it's approximately the same time. I mean, so he's telling you roughly from 30 to 35 is approximately the time. We're not being so exact, we have an atomic clock there. Okay, now, furthermore is, Reb Chaim Kineski, not in Hilchos Shmita, in Shekel HaKodesh, on this safe, in Kiddush HaKodesh, says, when the Rama says, where do you get this number from 30 to 35? Mm-hmm. He says, you know where you got this number from? He says, because you look a few prokem back, the Rama talks about people coming to report about the Kiddush HaKodesh, about the new moons or whatever it is, and the Rama says, so people come from approximately this many days walk from Yerushalayim, and they come, therefore, from 29 degrees longitude to 35 degrees, because he says Yerushalayim is at 32. So you go 3 longitude north and 3 south, and that's where people come from. Okay, the people walk from this far. So his border is, in other words, it's he's trying to make it equidistant from Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is with the center. That's really what counts. So he says, go 3 degrees north and 3 degrees south. And he says, and when the Rambam says he's 30, he doesn't mean 30, he really means 29. Okay, because 30 to 35 is not even, because if you're at 30, your line's at 32, so 3 up is 35. And so when he says 30, he really means it's the beginning of the 30th degree, which is at the end of the 29th degree. Now, if you go with the 29th degree, you're way past the line. Okay? So I'm saying, when Rechaim Kineski, not writing about Hilchos Shmita, writing about Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh, the Rambam over here is talking about what he said a few prokem beforehand, that really it's 3 degrees, again, like we're saying, just like a rough estimate, a certain amount from Yerushalayim, it's 3 degrees, I don't know why he calls 130 and 35, but whatever, he really means 29 and 35, which each 3, which is coming from a few prokem before. Okay? So, Elamai, this is not meant to be joint borders of Eretz Yisrael. He's giving you just a rough idea. In Mechuvan is today, Eretz Yisrael means roughly to what Eretz Yisrael is, not to be something so exact. Avopikin. We have, this is a statement from one of Rabbi Fati, of what Eretz Yisrael, the border of Eretz Yisrael. Not meant to be exact either. What is like this? The green part, and the top of the middle portion, is the part that sort of everyone agrees is Eretz Yisrael. And the orange that's in the bottom is the space in between where most people would draw the south border and the 30-degree line. Okay, you see the 30-degree line is way down on the bottom near Eilat. Okay, and only the part, the purple, on the very bottom of the map is the part that everyone agrees is not considered Eretz Yisrael.
Where's
Eilat? Okay, Eilat is the very bottom. Okay, the very bottom, right, bottom of the purple, near the water. Okay, so the 30-degree line is, but it's like 40 miles between the 30-degree line and the top of the orange over there, okay? So this is a big area of disagreement, okay? That there's two very, very different ways of looking at this. And one is to say is, we're going to try to figure out the Erech, where the border of Eretz Yisrael is, and make the line that looks like where the line goes between the orange and the green. And the other one that says is, you know what? The only thing we know is, the Chazir said Eilat is not, okay, so Eilat is safe, and he said 30 degrees north, and they based on this problem, 30 degrees north, okay, 30 degrees north, and that's, which is roughly near Eilat, and therefore, that's the only part. And what they call this is called the Arava Dreimus, okay? The Southern Arava, okay? Depending how you pronounce it. The Southern Arava. The Arava is the name of the desert. In that
Arava is a desert?
Yeah, called Negev?
What? Underneath the Negev. The Negev, and then which under the Negev, it's from Terra. According to this,
Arava.
No,
okay, I got it.
No.
So what's the
Arbona?
Okay. They're getting into this. Okay. Okay.
What?
What is the yellow? The yellow is something we're not talking about. Okay. Just leave it here. Okay. No, it's Azar. Okay. So now. Okay. So this is the southern border. And the southern border is the part, the border of Eretz Yisrael, that has the most shilas to it as to what you should or shouldn't include. It has the most practical, because there's loads of Yidden living. Lo-Zed, he isn't living in that purple and orange area, okay, and there's farming going on over there. So the most, there's lots of shilas about produce from all those areas, are they or not Eretz Yisrael? There's just two very different ways of looking at it. I'm not talking about the fine details, the broader picture, how we should look at the southern border, should we say we have a rough idea of where it is and take the line between the orange and the green, or should we say nothing doing, just take 30 degrees and between orange and purple? Okay? See now, one last question we'll talk about. The other specific question is about the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, not to talk about the whole northern border, but the Torah Gift tells us that in the northern border, the northwest corner of Eretz Yisrael is called Har Har. Okay, in Mishnayos and Gemara, it's called Amana or Turi Amana. Okay, but it's the same. Almost everybody assumes that that means Har Har. So Har Har is someplace in the north. It's the northwest of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara describes it as pointing out over into the water. Okay, it's a mountain that's along the shore, or seemingly, that points out and that somehow it sticks out into the water, and there's lots and lots of sheetahs about what that is. I'm going to show you four of the better known sheetahs.
Syria, what is that? Syria.
Syria is the name of the country.
What?
Almeria. Thank you. Okay, they must have named it if that. Okay, so the first is we're going to go from north to south. Okay, the first is way up in north, some called, I'm not going to pronounce it, Jebel al-Akra. Okay, and that's what the Kaftan Pharaoh says. It's in Turkey, okay, in modern day Turkey. Okay, it's all the way up north. Okay,
that's
Har Har. That's what the Kaftan Pharaoh says, it's Har Har. There are some, I didn't mean to say it, but there are some who say that even more north of that, there are mountains. I don't know if you can see, there's like a piece like that sticks out like a pointed over there, which is Kirin Khan and this. Anyway, those mountains are called the Amnion Mountains. Okay, so there's people who say that's Turi Amonon. Okay, it's those mountains over there. So there's even more there than to Turkey. Okay, but this is north enough for most people. This is the Kaftan Pharaoh says that's where it is.
It's like way Lebanon.
No, this is Turkey. This is past Lebanon, past Syria. This is in Turkey. It's in Turkey. Okay. Kaftan Pharaoh. Okay. It's at the very southern part of. There's an arrow on the board. I have an arrow. There's a big green arrow pointing to it. Okay. No negative one here. Okay. The next is the Shulchan Aruch Malam says that the Har Har is called Banias. Okay. And which is in Syria, in what we call Syria today. That would be, that Shita is consistent, if it meant anything to you, with the Rambam we saw before, because that Banias is right at the 35 degree northern longitude. So it's like really convenient if you want to see the Rambam over there meant 35. That was really the borders of Eretz Yisrael. His Banias and his Chuvas is exactly, is Berach right at that spot. So that would be very convenient. Okay, the third is something called Shaka, whatever it is. I can't pronounce this stuff. It's a Tfus Aretz. It's next to a city, which is called Amion, okay, which may be Amona, okay, anything could be for that matter, okay, and the last is the Ma'arit says that it's Mukobo by everybody, that the northern border of Eretz Yisrael is at Wadi al-Qasimiyah, which is also called the Litani River. It's like an extension of the Litani River, that's what people call it, and he says it's Murgo B'fi Ha'olam, that's the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, okay, now, the difference between these spots is Be'erach, 175 miles, okay? All of modern-day Israel is only 275 miles tall. So 175 miles is not a small thing over here. I mean, it's really a lot of space over here. Okay, and according... It's not such enough to be normalized.
It's not...
It's great.
Okay, we're going to talk about whether getting stuff from Grime makes a difference. We'll get there.
You're from Lebanon.
So it has to do with these kind of questions, and whether it belongs to God. We're not upset yet. We have many times before we get to that. It's in one of those pictures down there. But anyway, eventually we're going to get to whether it's owned by God. But it's not so the Meisah. There's not much trade going on. In the AOC, yes, a little bit. Okay. But anyhow, so this is not so the Meisah to us. These borders are not so the Meisah to us. The southern borders are very, very the Meisah. Okay. But I just put this out just to show you, again, the southern border is a Lamaisa Shaila of two different approaches, and the northern border, these are four main sheets, there's plenty of other ones also, of what the borders could be for Israel.